Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
So, some of you may be wondering, hopefully not at this point, you've gotten the message, why I'm saying that. Easter wasn't just last Sunday, as I said in the children's message. It is a season that runs through until Pentecost. Easter is a big deal, the biggest of deals in the church. And you may wonder why we're reading these passages from the book of Revelation and the Gospel of John today. And that is because they speak to something that is central to the Christian faith. Now, I'm going to allow myself a discursive moment right now. I want you to remember two things. First of all, look at the name of the first reading. It's Revelation, chapter 1, verse 4-8. It is not the book of Revelations. There is just one Revelation. And looking at the passage from John, there's a comment that says they were locked in the room for fear of the Jews. And that is John engaging in some propaganda. It wasn't all the Jews who were out to get them. There was a small group in the religious leadership, and they, frankly, were doing the bidding of the Romans. So the Jews were not after the disciples. The Jews did not kill Jesus, and there isn't a book of Revelations. There's just one book. Now, hopefully you remember that if you don't remember anything else from today. But I want to talk a little bit about this story from the book of John, the story of the doubting Thomas, and what's going on with him. He doesn't have the best reputation in the church. He's seen as someone who doubts, and that's not a good thing. But frankly, if there's any member of the disciples who should be a patron saint to the mainline church, it's Thomas. Don't you want evidence? Don't you want proof? Don't you have doubts and questions? Haven't you ever wondered? Thomas is you and me. And frankly, Thomas was scared. And he was worried. So why does the gospel come down on him like a ton of bricks? Why is he held up for this attention? Well, I think that Thomas's sin wasn't that he lacked faith, that he had questions about what had happened, because the resurrection was a big deal. It had not happened before. No one had ever seen it. No one had ever witnessed it. No one had ever talked about it. And Thomas's questions, his doubts, his worries were not unfounded. But think about what happened in the days after. The gospel leaves us with an unanswered question, which is just where was Thomas? He wasn't with his friends. He wasn't with them in the time of need. They too must have been worried, and they must have been scared, and they must have asked, is what happened to Jesus going to happen to us? Thomas, rather than staying with his friends and trying to provide his support, went off and sulked, cowered, he prepared for the worst, who knows? But Thomas removed himself from his community. And there is a lesson for us in the church, that we need to stay within our community, to work with one another, to help one another, sometimes to call one another out, but to just walk away and say, well, I'm done with this. That is not the kind of life that we're called to live. We are called to stick with the church. And we remember that it's not just people who get to sing in the choir or the money or finances, but there are people in need who depend on the church. And Brian and I had a steady flow of them coming in seeking help from the Open Door Ministry. That is the church at work. That is you at work. And that is what we need to remember. So if Thomas asked this question, or actually made this demand, I want to put my fingers in your hands, in your side, what did Jesus do? Jesus appeared. Now, you might think, well, gee, that would be kind of neat. After you got over the reaction that, gee, maybe touching someone's wounds would be kind of icky. But think about all of the supposedly documented evidence we have in today's world. How easy it is for people to make a fake video of somebody, to claim something is true. And we remember we had a politician who used to say, trust me, as if his words were supposed to be all we needed to hear. We don't know if Thomas actually touched Jesus. But we do know that Jesus appeared to Thomas and the disciples. And we know that something happened because we then read in the book of Revelation that John had written, and we don't know who the John was either, it wasn't John of the Gospels, that John wrote to the seven churches that were in Asia. And there were a whole bunch of churches in Asia Minor. Where did they come from? Jesus did not show up there and knock on their doors and say, hey guys, I'm here. It must have been the testimony that people shared. It must have been the life to which they were called. And you remember that the Christians in the first century were really strange countercultural people. They weren't relying on any kind of big governmental structures to take care of the poor. There weren't any, but they took care of the poor. And they welcomed them in, and they treated them as members of the community. And we look at who got to speak up in those councils. And in those early years, women had as much of a right to take leadership roles as men did. There was something in the church that drew people in. Now, the church has not always lived up to its best ideas. And I said in my more cynical moments that proof to me that the Holy Spirit exists is in the church. Because without the Holy Spirit, the church would have ground to a halt right at the start. But the Holy Spirit animates us, and it calls us to listen to the better angels of our natures, and to follow Jesus, which is what we should be excited about doing, not only now in this first week after Easter, but throughout the year. That is what happens here. And we see how this letter, the book of Revelation, is a testimony and a witness to Jesus and who he is. And it concludes with the words, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. And it doesn't matter how we frame that. I remember when I used to worship in Boston at Old South Church, we had a whole bunch of stained glass windows. And there was an Alpha window and an Omega window. The problem was that after we received a new organ and it was installed, the windows were put in backwards. So it was Omega on the left and Alpha on the right. And you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether we're dyslexic, whether we can even read. Jesus is still the beginning and the end. And Jesus has called each and every one of us. If you look carefully at the story from John, you'll see that Jesus says, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. What did that sound like? It sounds like a beatitude. And you remember that long list of things that Jesus preached in the Sermon on the Mount or the Sermon on the Plain, depending on the gospel you read it. This is a beatitude, and it is shared not only with those who are there in that room, but with you and with me. Jesus has blessed us. Think about that. Now, your faith may be strong and rock solid and you've never had questions, or it may be riddled with doubt and you may have questions and concerns. Jesus still has blessed you. Jesus still loves you. Jesus is still counting on you to do what the first disciples did, to share the story of his love. And the good news of his saving work. And you'll have different ways to talk about that. You can talk about theology. You can talk about what happens at the church. You can see this place as being an outpost in the community. Our building is open to outside groups. And I don't know that many of them ever come to worship here, but they're coming into the church. And that they know that there are a group of people here who are serving the wider community. That is a way for us to share the love of God. So Easter is just beginning, and it's going to run for a few weeks. And I hope that you will all be drawn into the spirit of the season, and that unlike Thomas, you won't ask for any kind of proof or physical evidence. But you will accept the testimony you've heard. And you'll ask questions. And you'll want to dig into the text more. And people have been doing that for a really long time. But they still believe. So remember, at the end of the day, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. We have not seen. Hopefully we believe. And that is a gift from God, and a gift from Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of the scripture, for the witness of the faithful, for the way your word has spread and continues to spread throughout the world. Be with all those who believe and all those who question. Be with everyone in every place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.